The art of losing isn't hard to master. So many things seem filled with the intent to be lost that their loss is no disaster. That's the opening of a poem called One Art by Elizabeth Bishop. Why are we quoting poetry on today's episode?
Because we're talking about losing things. You know, a building here or there, maybe a burial ground.
An entire civilization, perhaps?
Possibly.
I'm in.
Excellent. Well, so are we, because that's what this classic episode of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is about. Woohoo! Oh, man, we're going to make lots of good points about how easy it is to actually lose a city. You may not think so, but we're going to make a lot of those good points in this episode.
No, seriously, we actually... We learned some pretty cool stuff on this one. Sometimes we're a little bit hesitant to listen back to things from so long ago, but we think this one holds up, and we hope you enjoy it as well.
From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. My name is Matt.
And I'm Ben.
And today we're talking about lost civilizations.
Let me ask you a question, Matt.
Oh, all right.
All right, good. I'm glad you're on board. Have you ever lost something?
I've lost many things. Mm-hmm.
And it's common throughout a lot of human literature and art, this idea of losing things. Everybody, statistically speaking, everybody has at some point lost something. It could be something small like your car keys. It could be something metaphorical like...
Yeah, one time I lost my religion.
There you go.
I was listening to way too much REM and... Mm-hmm. You know, it happens, I guess. They said it happens.
Yeah, and you're in the market for a new religion.
Yeah, yeah. Looking around, checking out eBay.
Well, one thing that's also weird about human history is that we've lost big things, too. We've lost entire civilizations. We've lost entire cities. And you and I have done several video episodes on the nature of lost civilizations, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We have, I believe, two episodes that you can find on our older channel that one day will be... brought over to our new YouTube channel mm-hmm. and on TestTube. But we also have a fairly new one that we kind of started our new channel out with mm-hmm. about lost cities.
Yeah, yeah. That's a two-part episode, mm-hmm. right?
You can find all that on YouTube and on TestTube.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this because it's strange when you go back into research on history, one thing that's weird that happens is the further back you go, the less stark the line between myth and reality becomes. So that, for instance, if you trace back the origins of Chinese civilization, you quickly run into, well, I say quickly, depends on how fast you're flipping the pages, I guess. Mm-hmm. You'll run into eventually this area of time wherein the legends are the closest thing to a universal historical record. And when we, us being, you know, human beings at large, when we research lost civilizations, what we find is a huge wealth of rumor, legend, misdirection, fable, but we also often find a grain of truth. One thing that really blew the lid off of lost civilizations and launched it from, you know, kind of a speculative pseudoscience, wouldn't it be cool if kind of thing, and made it a real viable, feasible pursuit was the discovery of ancient Troy.
Oh, yes.
And for a long time, people thought that Troy, the city, was either a completely fictional thing or just somewhat loosely based on reality, the same way that a Lifetime show is inspired by true events. But come to find out, that actually is a real place. And it wasn't just a real place. It had layers of different periods in the civilization's history. Now, we also have other things that may or may not have some sort of basis in fact, and we can't go any further unless we talk about the Big A, the most famous of all legendary lost civilizations. Matt Frederick, I'm going to let you intro this one.
We have, in the left-hand corner, the red corner, Atlantis, fighting out of the Pacific or the Atlantic or somewhere. Who knows? We don't know where it exists, but it's there, and it's called Atlantis. We know that for sure.
Yeah, perfect intro, and thank you. We know that it's called Atlantis because this guy you may have heard of named Plato wrote about it and said, yeah, there was this city around 9,000 years before me that was beyond the Pillars of Heracles to the west of Gibraltar. And
he just had some insider information.
Yeah, he had some insider info back before insider info was against the law.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just imagine some finger quotes there on against the law. And according to Plato's story, the people of Atlantis angered Poseidon, sea god, pretty big deal back in the day, and he sank the city. Now, as we know, that's already kind of a diplomatic way to say it's kind of an implausible story because no one's proved the existence of sea gods yet.
Well, not yet. We're getting better at this.
Yeah, sorry, Cthulhu fans. I like Pacific Rim and Lovecraft too, but at this point, there's not too much evidence one way or the other. Now, as we know, people have claimed to find the origin of Atlantis all around the world, in the Caribbean, in the Pacific, in the Atlantic.
You'll hear stories all the time, or you'll read stories. You'll find them usually online from, let's say, not the most reputable source.
Sure.
Talking about a sunken pyramid with some pictures that look to me like they've been photoshopped.
Mm-hmm.
I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure. And you'll hear about that at least once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that we bring up Troy in the beginning is because for a long time, as crazy as it sounds, the city of Troy was put up there right around the same level of plausibility as the city of Atlantis. Yep. Until an archaeologist named Heinrich Schliemann rediscovered it in the 19th century. And hopefully the journalist at the time pronounced his name better than I just did. Sorry, Germany. The key questions here that we're tackling are, how likely is it that humanity could lose entire cities or civilizations? And spoiler alert, the answer is incredibly likely. In fact, it's fair to say that there could be cities that are extant and known today that could later be lost to just the slow grind of history. And it is frighteningly plausible that there are undiscovered cities right now, or rather lost cities. The people who built them probably knew where they were.
As you're talking, I'm just thinking about the line kind of drawn in the sand for me, about how a civilization could be lost is the record keeping techniques of whatever the day. So it sounds to me as though I don't think there ever will be another lost civilization on Earth because we have so many records throughout the world internationally. We're becoming so globalized.
Okay, so we're so interconnected that even, for example, if, let's just pick an isolated place. Okay, like the Maldives.
Mm-hmm.
The Maldives are an island nation, one of the ones at the most immediate threat mm-hmm. of, I guess, sinking into the ocean with rising sea levels.
Mm-hmm.
So then the argument would be, well, now that the cost of communication across the world is so cheap, everyone is able to find out that the Maldives exist.
It will be known that it existed, mm-hmm. right? It won't be lost. The structures will be lost. The population will be dispersed, but it will be known that, yes, Maldives really was there. We can Google map it.
Here's where I think it gets interesting, too, because I used to be on the same page with you in that respect. When we say the slow grind of history, though, let's take it out thousands of years, because the error, or rather the flaw in this global information system, is that it depends upon technology, several different types of technology, in order for it to be accessed. So let's just go dystopian, Matt. Let's say
huge
nuclear war. The world is up a certain creek without a paddle, you know.
All the vault dwellers are coming out of their vaults.
All the vault dwellers are coming out of their vaults, and over the thousands, maybe even millions of years that they've been locked in.
Super mutants are roaming in the hills.
Yeah, they've speciated and they're different to the point where they can't even breed together. And then they start finding relics, and they find, you know, cast off bits of things that maybe wouldn't have expired, like the ruined stone ruins, perhaps.
Bottles of cola.
Right, plastic. And then they start to piece this together, and they could rediscover it. What I guess the point we're making is that it is much less likely that cities will be lost now, as in forgotten. You know, it's still the same dangerous game when we ask, will cities survive? Because there are any number of natural or even interstellar disasters against which human beings are entirely helpless, entirely helpless. Even the most wealthy people in the world will just be able to use their wealth to GTFO before it hits the fan.
Well, speaking of wealth and being a factor in the survivability of civilization, let's talk about something that kind of strings together all of these civilizations and humanity as a whole.
Okay.
Water.
Ah, good.
And this is something that we discussed in the first episode of Lost Civilizations, about how large a factor water played in several civilizations, the Mayan civilization, the Indus or Harappan civilization, and even Angkor.
Yeah.
And how water was just kind of the underlying problem that they all ended up having to face. And when they faced it, they had to GTFO.
Yeah. Right.
So, look at that today.
Sure.
And let's think about how aquifers are being purchased,
mm-hmm.
how water is largely being privatized. And we even, it's funny, we even mentioned back in 2011 when we made that first episode that it's kind of silly. We didn't say that. We said it was kind of fanciful to talk about water wars and the, you know, in the future having a war where water is the main resource that's being fought over. And now, with a lot of what we're seeing, again, with the privatization, mm-hmm. it seems like it may be a real thing that we're going to have to deal with soon.
Yeah, and soon is a tricky word there, because do we mean soon in the larger context of history, or do we mean soon as in within our lifetimes? And in that context, within your lifetime, listener, means it may as well be happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you brought up the point about water. So in Angkor Wat, in the Maya and the Harappan civilizations that we talked about in that episode, we try to trace the fall of these civilizations. And there's a frighteningly plausible argument that what caused a lot of these civilizations to collapse, or these great cities and empires to fall, was an ecological disaster. In the case of Angkor Wat, it was a lack of water that came about because they simply had a huge population of people, and of course it was an agricultural economy.
And they had great infrastructure.
Yeah, they had aquifers, they had aqueducts.
There wasn't enough for the population.
Yeah, and there was an anomalous series of droughts. So they were running on reserves for a while, and then ultimately they couldn't support the people. And the story is similar with these other two civilizations. And we find that in that episode, we find that climate change, let me take a second here. When we say climate change as well, we don't mean the current argument about climate change. We mean that the ecosystem in which these cities were built or founded failed them or changed in a way that they were not able to adapt to in enough time to survive. And we know that water can do something else to ruin a civilization, which is completely flood it. Matt,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw this on Reddit recently, but a new Egyptian city has been rediscovered.
I did see this.
It's underwater now.
Oh man, it's crazy. They're getting great artifacts, hieroglyphs that are preserved almost perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty incredible.
And we also know that there are numerous underwater features, I guess is the best word to say, like Bimini Road or something that people have posited might be the work of human beings. It sank under the ground. Another thing, another way we can lose these is through volcanic eruption, like mm-hmm. Pompeii.
Yeah, yeah. Volcanic eruptions, even now, can form brand new islands. Just it's actually happening. You can search for this. Go to Google and search new volcanic island.
Yeah, and what's another thing that's kind of, I guess, you know what? I will say, to me, this is a positive note.
Okay.
It is true that with the evolving technology that we have, with our increasingly sophisticated means of pulling our own forensic science experiments on the past, we have found that we got so much stuff wrong about history. You know, we're finding footprints, human footprints, 4,000 years before they're supposed to be in a place. We're finding human DNA.
400,000 years ago?
Yeah, older than it should be. And,
yeah.
And we're even finding, you know, things that qualify as completely different types of peer hominid groups to human beings, which is a level beyond the Neanderthal. It's, you know, the Denisovans, I believe, are one of them, or the hotly debated Homo floresiensis, which would be, if this is true, if the most outrageous stuff is true, then they would be a race of little people.
Yeah. But it just makes you realize that we can't take any of this stuff for granted. We have to be vigilant and constantly searching. And that's why science is really important, guys. Research. Yeah. It's studying the past is just as important as studying the future, in my opinion.
And I think I agree with that. It reminds me of the old William Faulkner quotation where he said the past isn't over. It isn't even past yet. And let's pick up on the point about science, because one thing that you and I ran into when we were doing these episodes was an alarming tendency toward bad science. Primarily, for most of the span of archaeology, the primary problem in the science has been institutionalized racism. You know, European forces come to Africa. They find the ruins of ancient civilizations, Great Zimbabwe or so on. And then they say, oh, well, there's no way that native Africans could have built this. Where is the secret lost tribe? Because that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. We've been getting a lot of flack on YouTube in the comments because we want to discuss that point of institutionalized racism at that time period. Well, in pretty much in the past from this point. It's tough for me to kind of swallow that criticism because I understand what people are saying. You know, you playing the racism card is a thing, but unfortunately this is just a kind of a truth that we need to face at some point.
Well, sure. And I understand somebody saying that, but they're objecting to something different than what we have done in that video, which is the fact, the concrete historical fact that due to pre-existing notions of how the world or human society should be, a lot of scientists who could have made some great headway, when their time had come, instead retreated back to their ideologies. And it's kind of like the Holocaust experiment stuff, you know? It's bad science because the people who were conducting those experiments set out to reach a predetermined conclusion. Now, I will say to be absolutely fair that assuming that there was no great secret to find or there was no lost technology is just as silly as assuming that there had to be some, you know, well, imagine the most unrealistic thing you could see, right? Like time travelers from the future come back and build the pyramids to found the Masonic order that later builds the time machines in post-apocalyptic Earth to send them back to finish the loop. I mean, I'm just kind of riffing on that one, but we do know that, different techniques, different, processes that we are using are bearing fruit because lost civilizations and lost cities are being found at an unprecedented rate. and across the world, in South America, in the Near East. Who knows what's out there in Eurasia or Siberia or places where you would have to have a massive amount of funding to uncover something. And to be absolutely fair, again, who knows what we will find?
I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, I am personally thrilled.
It brings the Indiana Jones part of me that's hidden deep down in my childhood. It just brings it right to the surface.
Mm-hmm. And when we, let's see, we've touched on a lot of stuff in this one, and we don't want to completely ruin the episodes for anyone who hasn't seen them, and you should check them out. One thing that we can find, if we want to call this in favor of, you know, the quote unquote conspiracy theorists versus the quote unquote skeptics, who are not usually.
Ooh, I don't like those two sides, man.
Yeah, I don't either. They're kind of a false dichotomy, and usually the people who are quote unquote skeptics are not. The people who often are self-described skeptics are, have some preconceived notions. But,
well, and that's what we found in a lot of our research. It doesn't lie on the outskirts of any issue, really, the truth that we've been drilling down to. It's usually somewhere near the middle, on one side or the other. It's usually right near the middle somewhere, where it's, especially with these lost civilizations, right? There's truth to it that we can find and point to.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much left that, let's say, the more imaginative ideas can't be dismissed.
Mm-hmm. Ubar, Halike, Shangri-La, the Minoan Empire. These are just a few of the examples that you've heard about. Oh, El Dorado, mm-hmm. for instance, Ciudad Blanca. What we are finding shows us clearly that there is a hugely favorable probability that there are undiscovered cities, and when we say cities, we mean possibly massive cities that might be underwater now due to a shift in landmass, or that might be completely covered due to some other sort of disaster.
Especially now that we know from that DNA discovery recently that humanity goes back much further than we thought. So we need to start looking in places that perhaps have been covered over for 300,000 years.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
What if the ice caps melt and it turns out that Atlantis has been in the South Pole the entire time?
It's crazy to think about, and it sounds silly, but.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily silly. It's silly if we say that's definitely going to happen,
yeah.
But it is a point of departure. And this is, honestly, this is an exciting time to be alive, not just for an archaeologist, but this is an exciting time to be alive for anyone who wants to see how the official narrative of history has been wrong.
Yeah, and humanity as a whole.
And the official story of humanity as a whole. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up on that note. We hope that you do check out our 4 episodes on mm-hmm. lost cities, everywhere from Angkor Wat to Atlantis and everything between. And we would love to hear your stories and your opinions about these lost cities. And on the off chance that you have solid evidence of something that completely contradicts the historical narrative of, you know, your textbooks and your teachers and the news or whatever, we want you to come to us with it. We would love to learn more about it. And as always, we would love to bring it out to the rest of the world. So you can find us on Facebook. We're Conspiracy Stuff. You can drop us a line on Twitter, where we were also, in a burst of creativity, calling ourselves Conspiracy Stuff.
That's true.
And that's the end of this classic episode. If you have any thoughts or questions about this episode, you can get into contact with us in a number of different ways. One of the best is to give us a call. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. If you don't want to do that, you can send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.